Brian and Anthony just made a really good point. You're known for the hits. You're known for the fierceness which you played with, but you're a great all-around player. Do you ever feel like maybe that has been short-changed a little bit? The fact that you were known as this guy who could do so much damage physically on the ice, but you were also a damn good player at both ends of the ice.
Well, I guess I'm proud of the way I played, but yeah, I believe that my physical style helped me become, you know, be able to produce offensively. That was part of my the way I played. When I was doing the physical things, playing hard and playing simple hockey, it's funny, the offense kind of followed that. So I knew what got me to the NHL. I knew what would keep me there and what would help me, you know, put up some numbers and be a good all-around defenseman. That's what I've always wanted to be. I didn't want to be one-dimensional. I wanted to be a guy that could play any situation. I think I had to sort of work my way into that, all those situations, whether it was power play, PK, 5-on-5, you know, all those different situations. So there's no question, I think being an all-around defenseman was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed doing it.
I'm going to ask you a real quick follow-up before we get Berkey and Stewie involved. You made the NHL right out of junior. What was that transition like? You're an 18-year-old, and you're suddenly playing against men. How did you establish yourself as this tough-as-nails guy who could handle himself at that young age?
Well, I wanted to make the NHL, and I wanted to get there as quick as I could because I loved playing hockey, and that was my dream. And the way I played really growing up and played in junior, I was going to, you know, play physical, take the body, hard-nosed player, and work on my offense as I did the things that got me to the NHL very well, and then I would establish myself a little bit more as an offensive player. So I just wanted to come in and be a positive player, a player that the coach could put in any situation at an early age. But there's no question, the physical part, the hitting, being in people's face was a big part of me. Making the NHL, showing that I could play at that level and play with the bigger, faster, stronger players of the NHL.
Berkey.
Hey, Scotty, it's Berkey. Thanks for coming on. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, thanks. So I'd made the comment before I came on, which is what David's referring to, that I get annoyed. Maybe you don't, but I get annoyed when people talk about you and all they talk about is the hitting, because you were a complete player. But talk about the move, how you got from the Blues to New Jersey in the first place.
Well, I signed as a free agent out of Washington, and the Blues were very interested, and they wanted me very badly, which is always nice to be wanted, and I signed on, and the Capitals took a long, hard look and decided not to match, and then I was a St. Louis Blue.
And then how did you get to New Jersey from there?
As compensation for Brendan Shanahan. So the Blues, after my first year with St. Louis, they decided to put an offer, a free agent offer, to Brendan Shanahan. And they couldn't come to an agreement, the two managers at the time. So it went to an arbitrator. And, you know, Brian Eno is better than anybody. Both GMs put in their what they want or why they think they should get a certain player, certain draft picks. And Lou Lamoriello, won the arbitration hearing. And I was on my way to New Jersey, and Brendan Shanahan was then going to St. Louis.
Yeah, so that's 30 years ago, and I don't think people remember when it was body-for-body compensation for players. It's all draft picks now, but that's why I wanted you to tell the story. People listening that weren't following the game back then would be amazed to know that you got from St. Louis to New Jersey as a compensation award by an arbitrator.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what happened. I believe the Blues were offering Curtis Joseph and I believe it was Rod Brind'Amour at the time is what the Blues wanted to give to the Devils, and the Devils didn't feel that was fair. I think they were pretty good players, but they decided to go to arbitration.
Yeah, that's wild. Excellent. That's wild to think Brind'Amour and Curtis Joseph, and obviously they made the right call because what followed were three Stanley Cup championships, four trip to the finals for Scott Stevens, who joins us now, the Hall of Fame defenseman. Stewie.
Scott, you're an NHL analyst now. What's the difference between the game now and between when you played back in the 80s and 90s?
That's a good question, Stewie, and I've been, I always think the game's so different. You watch it and you see, and then, with this unfortunate incident with the virus here, I've watched some older hockey, and I'm looking, I'm going, you know what, the game really hasn't changed that much. I see the same plays. I see, obviously, there's rule changes. I see no red line. I see the hooking holding, but you see the same plays off face-off, so I think what's changed the most is the speed of the game and the skill of the game. But obviously when you take the hooking, holding, which I have no trouble out of the game, guys are allowed to show their skill and show their speed and probably have more time to make moves they weren't able to make because they had guys draped all over them or hooking or holding them. So I think that's just, allowed the guys to show their talent and their skill. But really, Stuart, I don't think the game's changed a whole lot. Yes, I think for sure not as physical, except for when you get to the playoffs. Then it's more like the old-style hockey when we played.
We're joined by Scott Stevens, the Hall of Fame defenseman, three-time Stanley Cup winner. You talked about, how the game has a lot of the similarities. You had to defend against the Gretzkys and the Lemieux in your career. How would you defend against Connor McDavid with this new set of rules that allow, for a lot more offense than defense?
You know what? I don't know if I still have a way I'd defend him. I think I'd skate backwards as fast as I can and hopefully he doesn't beat me, because I said this early on. I said, why don't people realize that you better back up your speed and you better get going because he's going to beat you wide? But he does it to everybody and everybody sees it. They know what's coming, but you just can't stop it. So it's very interesting. I think you have to be patient. You have to back up, but you back up too much, you give him too much space and you give him a chance to shoot the puck or make another play. He's just a guy that has more gears than I've seen any hockey player have that's played the game. And it's just amazing how fast his feet move and how quickly he can change gears and change his speed. You think he's going top speed and you're playing him right, and all of a sudden he puts him to another gear into overdrive, and you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? So he's a special player, and I still don't know if I have an answer for that, but I think I'd be very patient. I want to make sure I keep him on the outside, not let him get to the middle, and try to angle him and force him at the post as much as I could. But he's a special player, and I think he's beat a lot of good hockey players from what I've seen so far.
You know, what's funny is guys actually often turn around and skate forward, retreating, just to make sure they have enough speed. They can't even just skate backwards. I've seen a lot of defensemen do that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, guys skate faster forward, and there's no question that would be a good concept. But, I think everyone's still kind of finding a solution for Connor McDavid. I mean, what is his third or fourth year in the league? And he just keeps putting consistent numbers up and doing things that we haven't seen before. So he keeps getting better. So he's fun to watch. But, speed kills. And, no one likes to play against speed because it can embarrass you. And that's what he's been doing to a lot of players.
Berkey.
Yeah, Scotty, I was at a practice at the Met Center, and Bobby Carpenter and you got in a fight. He speared you in the face, and then you got in a fight. Do you remember that?
No, because we're really good friends, and we still talk a lot, but that's interesting. But that's, that's how we played, and that's one thing going back. The practices have changed, Berkey, and because you bring up that incident, we really practiced like we played. And I think that's very important. I think we've gone away from that a bit because there's just not enough time. There's so many games and there's so much speed in the game. Many times with the Devils, when we practiced, we practiced hard. We practiced like we played because I think the games were easier than when you practice hard and just like a game situation. So we did have confrontations. We had Bobby Hajdúk, who he'd slew foot you in practice, and we had the guys, Randy McKay. So we had spirited practices. So it wasn't uncommon for guys to sort of get into it, but I think that's a good thing. And like I said, I think it's very important to practice hard and have meaningful practices.
Well, Brian Murray laughed at me from the ice because I represented Bob Mason back then. And you two, you and Bobby, got in a fight, and Brian Murray looked up at me and said, and we won last night. You guys beat the North Stars the year before, and then you had a pretty good fight with Bobby in practice. It was pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know, it's, I think that's one thing, you know, is important, and I think I tried to practice like I played and lead by example in practices, and, you know what, I think it was good for everybody, and it was a lot of fun. But like I said, there's just not enough time, the travel. It's very hard to get practice time for coaches, and I know they find it difficult, but, you know, those were the good old days.
Stewie.
I need some advice here. I'm getting into broadcasting. This is my second year doing this, but I also coach minor hockey. You coached 5 years as a co-coach and assistant coach in the National Hockey League. What do you recommend? What path should I stick with?
it's a challenging. I mean, coaching's fun. It's rewarding. Yes, sometimes good players make better coaches. We all know that. If you really enjoy the coaching and you're passionate about it, that's the way to go. With me, there's a lot of travel and whatnot. For me, I find doing the being an analyst, it's almost like you're coaching, but you're really not having to put it to work and make guys do it, make them believe it. You're sort of selling it to the audience. You're sort of teaching the audience watching the TV, which I find fun. So it's a nice balance. And then I actually have, you know, you have some downtime. You can make your own schedule. So it depends which way you want to go. I think being an analyst gives you a little more leeway, a little more freedom. Being a coach, it's 24/7, and you go to sleep with it.
I like that. You're making Scott Stevens into your life coach, Stewie.
Checks in the mail.
Enough on his plate already. Scott, our previous guest was Scotty Bowman. And he mentions Quinn Hughes as a young defenseman in the game. He keeps an eye on, reminds him a little bit of a young Scott Niedermeyer in many respects, your old teammate and buddy. What about you? Is there a young defenseman in the game you keep an eye on? Maybe, and you kind of go, well, he's got some of the same attributes I had as a player. Or maybe he plays a different style, but you just like the way he plays.
That's a good question. I was asked that, and I guess if I'm going to look at, I look at like a Shea Weber, a Seth Jones, Zdeno Chara. I think Chara and Weber, I know they're a little more old school, older guys, but I think if there's two guys, I think those two guys for sure in the younger category. Like I said, maybe Seth Jones, to a certain extent, he's still young. He's still getting better. He's still learning the game. I think he has a bright future. But for sure, I guess I have to go, more Shea Weber, Chara type of would be more what I would see myself as. I know they are older players.
Yeah, good hard-nosed future Hall of Fame players as well. Berkey, we only have a couple minutes left with Scott Stevens. Why don't you go ahead?
Tell us about playing for Lou Lamoriello. Obviously, I did way back in the day. Wonderful man. Tell us about that.
Well, what I like about Lou the best is he'll do anything to win or give his team a chance to win, whether it's something you do off the ice to help the players so they can focus on the game and have try to win every night. I think that's what I like about Lou, and it always starts at the top. You know, if you have great ownership and you have a great manager and good coaches, that just filters down to the players, and the players believe they can win. They believe they have the support of the ownership and the managers of the hockey club, and that's what Lou is. Lou believes we have a chance to win every year. Lou would do whatever it takes to get players to help us or give us the best opportunity to win hockey games and win championships. So I think that's what he does best, and not a lot of guys think that way, but Lou just thinks about winning and whatever he has to do, and he might get criticized for doing it, but he believes if that gives his team a better chance to win a Stanley Cup or win a hockey game or win a series, he's going to do it. He doesn't care about the critics.
Stewie, maybe final question to you. Any more life questions, Stewie, for Scott Stevens?
No, I was just doing a little bit of research here, and I saw that you, your last year junior, you played with Brian Bellows, Al McGinnis, and Wendell Young. Did you guys win the championship that year? What happened?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Okay, I hope so.
You forgot Dave Shaw, Grant Martin, I know I'm forgetting more. Jeff Larmer.
Kevin Casey, yeah.
We had a really good team. Yeah, we had a good team, but it wasn't easy. But it was a very special team, and a team that had a lot of guys go on and play, had long careers or, you know, some shorter careers. Mike Moore, he was a tough right winger that played a bit out with the Devils also. So it was a talented team and a fun team to play on, a tight-knit group, and it was a lot of fun to win the Memorial Cup.
Yeah, Memorial Cup winner with the Kitchener Rangers and then a 3-time Stanley Cup winner as well. Real quickly, where are all these rings? Where do you keep them all?
I have them in a safe, and, you know, I don't wear them a lot. I wear them when I work on the NHL Network or a special function. They are fun. I think people like to see them, and, you know, you're proud of them. There's a lot that goes into winning those Stanley Cups, and it's nice to have a ring to always look back and brings back memories. So I just sort of change them up, and they're outstanding rings and some great teams we had, so... I keep them safe and keep them close by, and I do like to wear them. I mean, that's what they're made for, and I got some pretty big hands, so they fit pretty well on my fingers.
As captain, did you have any say on the design of the rings, any of the rings?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's Lou awesome. He would bounce things off the leadership group of the hockey club and see what we wanted to do, and it's very interesting. You asked that. The 2000 ring, which I don't know if any other sports team has it, it's actually platinum. So, and if you know platinum, it's very heavy metal, much, much heavier than gold. So it's a good size ring and totally out of platinum. So there's a bit of value in that ring. And the guys all say, oh, you did that because, you know, you got big fingers and big hands and the thing's heavy. But so we had a bit of say on that when we changed it up and went with a platinum ring instead of the gold ring. So it looks pretty cool.